Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Many of you, most of you, have experienced grief, the death of a parent, the death of a child, a brother, a sister, a close friend, a grandparent. Death is a reality in this fallen world.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, John shares a powerful and personal message about dealing with grief and the living hope we have as followers of Christ. We're opening our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, as we join Pastor John Monroe for the beginning of his message titled, Grief and Hope.
On April 25, 2021, life for the Monroe family forever changed. In a matter of hours, our only child, Christopher, died from COVID-19 at the age of 37. Goodney and I continue to mourn and remember as we go forward in life without Christopher. But I feel I need to proclaim the truths which sustained us during our time of devastating loss. In all probability, you've had to deal with grief and may be struggling with the loss of a loved one. So I trust this message will not only be instructive and comforting, but will provide a strong anchor when the bitterly cold winds of death and loss hit you with the force of a hurricane.
On Sunday, April 25, 2021, life for our family, the Monroe family, changed suddenly, dramatically, and profoundly. In a matter of a few short hours, our son, Christopher, known to so many of you, died from COVID-19. And just a short distance from here at Atrium in Pineville, I stood that Sunday at the side. I stood at the side of my dead son and experienced a depth of emotion I had never known before. Had I seen death before? Many times. Both my parents have died. Two of my brothers have died. I've had many close friends, colleagues who have died, and I've lost count of the number of funerals I've taken. So, more than most people, I know about grief. I know about heartache, sorrow, bereavement, the shock at sudden loss, dealing in situations in life which just do not make sense. I've experienced much of that, but I had never experienced this profound grief. A hole remains, which we know in this lifetime will never be filled. Job writes in Job 7, verse 10, he says, he returns no more to his house, nor his place know him anymore. Many of you know what I'm talking about. We miss his voice. His jokes, coming into our house and giving us a shoe chuck, lifting up his little mother, which he could do very easily. And many of you have experienced that pain, that grief, that loss, that devastation. Can I say to you, treasure those that you love. Many of you attended Christopher's funeral, which was held at Calvary just a few days later. And we have received a huge number of letters, cards, emails, texts, notes sent to us expressing your love and your prayers. And many of you have spoken to us personally about the passing of Christopher. And for all of your love, for all of your kindness, in so many ways, we are deeply, deeply thankful. And this community at Calvary in this time of devastating loss, has been of incalculable blessing to us. The Bible says that when one member suffers, all suffer. And we thank you for suffering with us, not only with us, but many others in our life here at Calvary. And you have reminded us, and we needed to be reminded, of the promises of Holy Scripture, not of cliches, but you've pointed us to the Word of God. And you have reminded us that our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ still stands as the resurrection and the life. That he is the resurrection and the life. And this book, the Word of God, has been our strong anchor. And to its pages, we have turned over and over again. And as a preacher of the scripture, I've tried to sort through my own thoughts and feelings, and with all of the implications of Christopher's passing. And I ask you to open your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, because what Gooden and I, what many of you have experienced, is by no means unique. And I think how wonderful it is that Paul, 2,000 years ago, writes of this very subject. And here it is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. A beautiful description of death for the Christian. Death for the Christian is described as falling asleep. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So today, I want to speak about a profound grief, a living hope, and an eternal future. First of all, a profound grief. I want to say four things about grief. There are many, many things that could be said, but here are four at least. There are many, many others, but four things that have impacted me as I've thought about this subject. And Paul says that we do grieve. First of all, grief is a reality of life in this fallen world. Could you imagine being the parent of one of these fallen Marines, getting that knock at the door to be told that your son or your daughter had been killed in that suicide bombing? This is a reality of life in this fallen world. And many of you, most of you, have experienced grief, the death of a parent, the death of a child, a brother, a sister, a close friend, a grandparent. Death is a reality in this fallen world. And apart from the return of the Lord Jesus, every single one of us sitting here will die. When I practiced law in Scotland, the Law Society of Scotland one year was encouraging people to make their wills. And someone in the Law Society came up with this slogan, which I thought was very well done. It said, signing your will is not signing your death warrant. The person who came up with that slogan understood that although we understand that we're all going to die, it is very, very difficult for us to face the fact that we will die. Other people die. Other people get killed. Other people get COVID. Other people are in car accidents. Other people have heart attacks. But not me. But that's going to happen away in the future. And many people delay making their wills because they can't handle the fact of their own mortality. When I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary, I remember a professor talking about funerals and grief and saying to us that we had to face our own mortality. And that's difficult, isn't it? Difficult to think that you will die. You may be a little boy, you may be in your 90s, but death is no respecter of ages. People of all ages die. Face your own mortality. That was wise advice. So grief is a normal part of life. You will not escape it. And can I say, it is not sinful to grieve. How could we not grieve over the passing of a loved one? It's unimaginable. And I realize there are some Christians, I'm sure they're well-meaning, who, when someone dies, you say, well, it's a great celebration. Well, I don't feel like celebrating. And so, rather than saying we have a memorial service, it's a celebration of life. And I understand what that means. My mother died almost 2 years ago, and we did celebrate her life. She lived to 94. Last couple of years, she had some dementia. And so we celebrated the fact that now her suffering was over. She had said a few years ago she wanted to be with the Lord. She was a godly woman, and we celebrated that. But when people die young, and when it comes home, it's very difficult to celebrate, isn't it? Isn't it very interesting in the Old Testament? Have you noticed this when the patriarchs died? Do you know what happened? they spent many days in mourning. And they took great care of the burial of their loved one. A few weeks ago, as we were going through Matthew, in Matthew chapter 14, I remember the circumstances of the death of John the Baptist. Evil Herod cut off his head. And we read in Matthew 14, verse 12, that when John the Baptist was executed by that evil king and beheaded, his disciples, and how they must have loved John, his disciples came. Matthew says this, they came and took the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. I think that's beautiful. Isn't that what we do when a loved one dies? We take care of the body. We show respect. We mourn. And what do we do then? We go and tell Jesus. Jesus loved John the Baptist. Jesus must have mourned the passing of John the Baptist. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, died, Luke records in Acts 8, verse 2, that devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. You say, but he was in heaven. He got this vision of Jesus standing to receive him. Why weren't they celebrating? You know, sometimes I think we're more spiritual than the Bible. We grieve. Don't deny your humanity when a loved one passes away. It's horrible. Many of you don't need me to tell you that. It's unbelievably devastating. And there is great lamentation. Yes, we rejoice that they're with the Lord. So Paul, as he writes to the Thessalonians, is not telling them not to grieve. Grief, number one, is a reality of life in this fallen world. Secondly, in our grief, we know our God loves us and is with us. If you're grieving, I want you to understand this. In our grief, we know that God loves us and is with us. As a wee boy, I was taught that God loved me. I still believe that. But that does not mean that life always goes the way that I want. Often it doesn't. But it does mean that the God who made me in his image, and that the God who accomplished my salvation through the glorious work of my Lord Jesus Christ is a God who continues to love me. Yes, loved with an everlasting love. Isn't that wonderful to think? That we are loved with an everlasting love, a love which will not let us go. And as Paul so brilliantly argues at the end of Romans chapter 8, he reminds us that there is no force in the whole universe, not all of the darkness, not all of the foes of hell and of Satan and of death itself can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't always feel it, but in our grief, remember, God loves you and God will never leave me. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 46, that wonderful psalm, the earth may give way and the mountains be moved into the depth of the sea. Do you get the picture in Psalm 46? The psalmist's life has completely changed. The ground around him has crumbled. It's falling into the sea. He paints this terrible natural disaster, and yet he says this, God is my refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. God is our present help. When we grieve, much of it, we were on our own. People can't enter into it. But God is right there. He's a present help in trouble. Isaiah 41, verse 10, Christopher's favorite verse, which was tattooed on his wrist. And I'm not saying students go out and get a tattoo, but my son did it, and he didn't ask my permission. But he chose a good verse. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am, what? With you. Nothing to fear, because God is with us. Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In my grief, I remember this, that God loves me and that God will never, ever, ever leave me. Third, in our grief, we know that God is working all things for our good. This is hard, but it's true. It's a promise. Romans 8, 28, Paul writes, and we know, this is for followers of Christ. Perhaps you don't know, but for followers of Christ, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, Paul is not saying that everything in life is good. It's not. The death of a loved one isn't good. It's bad. It's unbelievably devastating. Yet through the darkness, through the difficulties, through the disappointments, through the confusions of life, God is so great. God is so magnificent. He is the Almighty God that he takes all of the circumstances of life, even the bad, horrible things, and he works them for our good. See, not only is he a father who loves me, he's a mighty God who can do all things. And he's so powerful, he can take these horrible situations of your life and work them for your good. And in our grief, we have to understand that he is God and we are not. He's God. Isaiah writes, Isaiah 45, verse 15, truly you are a God who hides himself. And in our grief, it sometimes seems that God is hidden. We can't see him. We can't feel him. He may seem to have abandoned us. He has hidden himself. But although we do not understand all of his ways, we are to trust him in the darkness, in the grief, in the confusion. He is my heavenly Father, and I am his child. And God has plans for my life and your life. And can I say the obvious? God's much smarter than you are. God's much wiser. And his plans for us are perfect. And rather than seeking answers and explanations, and I like things to be explained, believe me, I like things to be set out in a logical way so I understand them. But rather than seeking answers and explanations, Gooden and I, we claim the promise of Romans 8, 28, that he is working all things for our good in our grief. Here's the fourth one. In our grief, we know God understands our sorrows and heals the brokenhearted. I found great comfort in the designation given by the Old Testament prophet Isaiah of the coming Messiah. Do you know how he describes the coming Messiah in Isaiah 53? He describes him as the man of, we sing it, man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. He says he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's a strange thing to think. Nowadays, we would want the man of fun, the man of excitement, the man of charisma. Our Savior comes into this fallen, broken world, and he comes as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He takes our sorrows. He takes our griefs. Truly God and truly man. Luther said that no man ever suffered like Jesus. You think your sufferings are bad? The sufferings of Jesus were much, much more than we have experienced. He grieved and he understands our grief and our sorrows. Remember that amazing scene in John 11 where Jesus is at the grave of Lazarus and he's with the sisters Martha and Mary. And we read that most poignant, the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, verse 35, we read, Jesus wept. Do you see him at the grave? He's Almighty God. He's going to speak, and Lazarus is going to come forth. But he grieves. He understands the pain and the sorrow of death. And in our grief, think of this, our Savior weeps with us. He groans. He understands. He gave his only son for us. The psalmist says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34, verse 18, and the Lord Jesus said in these wonderful words, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And in our deep grief, in our profound grief, God knows and God understands. Augustine says in his Confessions, the tears stream down, and I let them flow as freely as they would, making of them a pillow for my heart. On them it rested. I like that. And God, the Holy Spirit, is described as the comforter. And he strengthens us, he helps us, he comforts us. We appreciate the comfort of friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's wonderful. And that's one of the ways that God comforts us. But he also comforts us directly through the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, and through the comfort of the Holy Scriptures. Yes, death is an enemy. But as we began by reminding ourselves, that enemy has been defeated, that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We do grieve. The pain, the sadness are overwhelming at times. There is a profound grief. But secondly, our grief points us to a living hope. Let me read the passage there in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, I read with you verse 13. Let me read to the end of the chapter. Follow it with me. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we began a powerful message titled Grief and Hope. And there's still more to hear from John when he returns in just a moment, so keep listening. As a special thank you to our listeners, we'd like to offer you a free copy of John's special booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn firsthand from John's personal testimony and gain a deeper scriptural understanding of why Christ followers can be assured of their eternal salvation. You can download or request a mailed copy of this special resource when you visit our website at theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to add your name to John's monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and the latest ministry news by simply signing up on our homepage. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth and life-changing power of God's Word every day. And we invite you to help us continue sharing these encouraging Bible lessons by supporting our ministry with a generous gift of any amount. You can give your generous gift today by clicking the Donate tab on our homepage or by giving us a call at 833-551-2231. That's 833-551-2231. You can even send a check in the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I find great comfort in reviewing these great truths of Scripture regarding grief. Death is a devastating and terrible part of this fallen world, but we know our God loves us and is with us. And although we don't understand all of his ways, we're to trust him in the darkness, in the confusion, in the pain of grief. And in our grief, God understands our sorrow and heals our broken hearts. Next time, we'll learn that our grief points us to a living hope.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.